Well, life has its challenges, doesn't it? And there never seems to be a time when you can just kind of let your guard down and relax and just kind of completely let go. You've always got to be on guard. And one of the biggest challenges that we face as Christians is having that ability to be discerning all the time, to be operating in the strength of God, in the wisdom of God, and to be conscious of the atmospheres and the presence that we find ourselves in, and walking in a manner whereby we can bring in the presence of God, the anointing of God. Do you know that we are to live our lives in the power of the Spirit of God? Not in our own strength, not just going along, but we need to be charged up. We need to be ignited in the fire of the Spirit and the presence of God. And if you go through life kind of casually and kind of floating along, you're going to find yourself being overtaken or overwhelmed with whatever it is that life throws at you. And then we find ourselves having to do hand-to-hand combat with the enemy's devices rather than being able to cast them down before they even approach us. And so God has called us to be a people who are able to overcome these challenges and these difficulties that life brings our way. And he's designed it so that we don't have to go about it alone. That's why even Jesus had the 12 disciples. Isn't that right? And he's the Son of God. And he had 12 disciples. Why? Because we need the support. We need emotional support. We need spiritual support. And we need physical support. We need people to come alongside us to help us as we go through the journey of life. And life is filled with challenges and difficulties that are often unexpected. And so we must always be prepared, always be ready when they come. And so God has called us to be equipped, to be trained up, to be prepared. And that is why we need to be suited up. Isn't that right? And we've been talking about being suited up and the importance of being able to walk in the righteousness of God, in the strength of God, in the power of God. And so each of us is in a particular and unique position. No two people have the exact same position in the exact same company doing the exact same thing. But each person is uniquely called to their position and their place in what they're doing in order to be effective so that you can have a holistic approach to getting the job done, the mission accomplished. And that is why being trained up in the way of the Lord is so important. Being discipled is so important. And so as we are talking about the appointments of God, the divine appointments that God gives in our life, we find that it reveals itself in several different ways. Have you ever been trained on your job? Have you ever been trained for a particular position? You know, have you ever changed jobs doing similar thing in one place and then moving to another company and doing a similar thing in another place? And then you get trained again? Isn't that right? You get trained again. Why is that? It's because the way you do it over here is not necessarily the way it's done over here. And so when we are moving around, we need to be reacclimated to the place that we are in, to where God has called us to be. And as we move from a carnal state into a more spiritual state, we need to be trained up. We need to be equipped so that we can be made even the more effective at fulfilling the mission, the will of God, accomplishing it in different ways. The heart does a different thing than the lungs. But it's still part of the body. Isn't that right? Anybody can do without a heart. Can you do without a pair of lungs? Now, you might get by with one, right? But you won't get by too long or too far. And so the idea is that each part of the body plays a significant role. And God has fitted us together, the Word of God says. We're all fitted together. Like all of the organs in the body have a particular place where they belong. If you look for an organ in a particular place and it's not there, then that usually means that something is wrong. Isn't that right? And so the idea is that everything is where it was designed to be placed. And God has a design in creation. He has a design for humanity. And you and I, we're all a part of this divine design. And so we need to be equipped to function as God has called us to function. And that means the first thing we need is a renewed mind. We need to have our mind renewed so that we can focus and operate according to the principles and the ways of God, because our flesh doesn't relate to those things. And so we're training ourselves and we're being trained up by the Spirit of God in order to be effective at doing what God has called us to do. And He's equipped us with the various tools and the mechanism to do this, because life is really spiritual, yet it is lived out in the flesh. Life is spiritual, but we are living it out in the flesh. And so in order to be truly effective at a living life, we must always be attuned in the Spirit. We must be attuned to the power and the presence of whatever is at work in the midst of us, so that we can draw from the strength of God in order to manage whatever the situation is. And God has given us ways to do that throughout the Word of God, and we come together as a body in order to practice. Isn't that right? And we learn and we grow together at becoming more and more effective at representing the kingdom of God to a lost and dying world, and being the people that God has called us to be. And so in Ephesians 6:18, it says, Paul talking about the importance of having the armor of God on and having it so that we can stand. In fact, the language is that it will make us stand. It says here, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Hallelujah. Think about that. Here is Paul talking to the Ephesian church, and he's telling them to pray and even implore God, beg, plead, pray earnestly in the Spirit, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, under the unctioning of the Spirit of God. In other words, hearing what the Spirit is saying and bringing that forth before God as the anointing of God stirs us. And we know that the power of the Spirit is critical in the life of the believer. And that is why the Word of God says we pray even with groanings and utterances that cannot be heard. Hallelujah. That's why when you pray in the Spirit, or praying in tongues, some would say, you're really praying from the soul. It's soul-rooted prayer, prayer that is earnest in God. And as we are praying in this manner, the Spirit of God is giving us, He's bringing to our minds what to pray for the saints. We're lifting people up. We're interceding. We're standing in the gap for one another. And so I would like to use as a theme for today, suited for all occasions. Suited for all occasions. Are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. Well, Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And we ask, God, that you would fill us with your Spirit, strengthen us in your spirit. God, breathe upon us. Enable us to hear. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to our church. God, use us today. Enable us today as we learn to apply the principles of your word more effectively in our life, that we would hear and learn and grow in the power of the strength of the Spirit of God, and that you would be glorified, that we would bring forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold, and that the provision of God would be manifested in the midst of our life as you arise within us. God, help us in all that you have called us to do, that we would be suited, no matter what the situation or the circumstance is that we find ourselves in, that God, you would be lifted up and that you would be glorified in it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, life is filled with a series of dress codes. It's filled with all types of situations that people can find themselves in. And as we go through life, people wear different hats, isn't that right? And sometimes you're a mother, sometimes you're a father, sometimes you're a sister or a brother or an aunt or an uncle, but other times you have roles that you actually have to do when you go to work, where you must put on a different hat. You're no longer mommy or daddy. You're no longer sister or brother, but now you're operating according to the call that company has on your life. When you are given a job or take on an occupation in a company, that's a calling. Did you know that? That is a type of calling. Yeah, well, why is it a calling? It's a calling because they called you and said, "We want to hire you." And that's why that's a calling. A calling means somebody called you. And they called you and they offered you a position, a job, a role to play. Isn't that right? Did they not? Right? And so they compensate you for the calling, the role that you play. And so we commit, we sign a contract or an agreement that says we will take the position. We will follow through and honor this call. We will respond to the call. And when we do, we now take on the responsibility of that position, and we're trained and we're equipped by that company, and they provide the resources and everything we need in order for us to be effective at doing our jobs. And if you're in a good company, as you grow in your position and your needs change and shift for your ability to be all the more effective, you will gain new skills. You will be trained in broader areas, or you will be provided with additional tools or necessary things that you need in order to do what you do well. And this is true in every case. And as we prepare for work, we don't just wear anything, but we suit up. Isn't that right? And if you're a businessman, you will suit up. Isn't that right? A businessman, well, Pastor Raphael is our businessman. He is suited up, if you see. He is suited up, and he's on his way to take care of business. Are you not?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Buy low, sell high.
Very good. And, you know, so we don't expect the businessman to do something else. He's not going to wash cars or dig in the ground. He's not going to do yard work, and he's not going to do other things. Why? Because he's a businessman. And other people have other occupations. Maybe you're in the medical field. Maybe you're a doctor or you're a nurse. And, you know, as Amanda here is demonstrating, you know, when she goes to work, she's not wearing a business suit because her business is not to sell high and buy low. Her business is to lay on holy hands and bring forth healing and deliverance. Hallelujah. And so she uses her medical skills in order to do what she does, and she's dressed appropriately. She suits up. And so when you see Amanda, you have a certain expectation. Isn't that right? You don't expect her to change the oil in your car, right? You know, you don't expect her to take payment for your bills. No, but she has a certain set of skills that she is trained in, and she is equipped for what she does. Well, thank you, Amanda. And likewise, hallelujah. Each of us are trained and equipped in our respective occupations and positions, and we need to be suited up. And we're appropriately dressed for whatever the occasion is. And based on what you see, that will help you to understand where your sense of expectations need to lie. And so we don't expect things from people who are not suited for the part. And so everyone must be properly suited. And God says, if you're going to be my disciple, you need to be suited up. You need to be properly suited. You need to be equipped in order to represent the kingdom of God. Why? Because God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It requires us to have a sense of God's presence and an awareness of God, and we need to be spiritual. And God has given us what we need in order to be spiritual. And we can be spiritual people. We can connect with the Spirit of God, with the presence of God. And as we commune with God, the more you spend time with God, the more sensitive to him and his presence you will become, the more reverent you will become, in the sense that you will be able to operate in God's presence. You will be able to come before him. You will be able to interact with him. Why? Because there is a certain depth of presence that will begin to grow within you, so that your soul and the Spirit of God will connect, that will enable you to be empowered by the Spirit of God. And so in Ephesians 6:18, Paul says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. Why? Because it's the Spirit of God. That's why the S here is capitalized. It's the person of God. God is the Spirit. And so we're praying in the Spirit of God. And this we must always do. We must always be on the alert. I don't know if you're like me, you will tend to put your guard down at different times, depending on what the situation and the circumstances are. But that is something we must learn not to do. We must train ourselves to be always on the alert, always aware. And he says the way to do this is with prayer and petitions, being persevering in God. Do you know how to persevere? Well, perseverance is when you don't really feel well, but you get up and you go to work anyway. That's persevering for the role that you need to play, for the occupation that you have. The other thing is you persevere when something needs to get done and you're not quite sure how to do it, and you go on YouTube or you go online and you try to look up the information, you try to find a way. That's persevering. You're not allowing the obstacles that come your way to hold you back or to hinder you, but you're intent on following through to accomplish your goal, your mission. And that is what God is expecting us to learn how to do. We need to be trained in perseverance, how to persevere in God, how to stick to the things that God has called us to do, so that we can be more attuned to the Spirit of God and then do what the Spirit of God tells us to do. The Christian life is about what you do. In fact, life itself is about what you do. And what you do is determined by the Spirit in which you operate. And so when you operate in the Spirit of God, what you do becomes holy unto God, and it becomes a work of God and unto God. And so it's no longer a work of your flesh or a work of yourself. It's a work of the Spirit of God, because the Lord is moving you, is unctioning you. And so we are all being equipped as the children of God so that we can have a powerful story to tell. It's how God establishes a witness within us so that we can testify of something. Everyone, from the time they come into a relationship with some Christian that is walking with God, will begin to have a testimony being established. From the time that you are born, if you're born in a home, in life at all, your story begins. Your story begins. As we've talked about last week, when some people start out with hardship and difficulties, they're in a place of favor, but their situation and their circumstances are cumbersome, are difficult to manage or to handle, even though they may be loved and cared for. And then there are others who start out having everything balanced out properly. They have the love they need, they have the support they need, and they have the resources and the tools that they need, and everything seems to be going their way. And then troubles come somewhere along the line. But no matter what the situation is, your story is being made. God is creating a story, a testimony out of your life. And no matter what our starting point is, we are all designed and being called to finish well and to look like Christ. And so once we are fulfilling the will of God, we are able to overcome a lot of the challenges, in fact, all of the challenges that come our way in life when we operate according to the Spirit of God. And so the key is we need to be trained up in the call of God. When God calls you, when he brings you into a relationship with himself, we are brought into this place where we're being now equipped, where we're being trained up in the ways of the Lord. And Romans 11:29 tells us that the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Hallelujah. The King James says, without repentance. The New Living Translation says, it's God's gift and his call can never be withdrawn. Hallelujah. And when you are called of God, God is going to hold you to it. He's going to say, you got to get it done. Get it done, right? There's that comedian that used to say, get her done, right? You and I, we have to get it done. We have to get the things of God done. We have to fulfill the call of God. Each of us has a relationship with God for the purpose of fulfilling the call of God. And that means we need to be trained up. We need to be equipped for the sake of the kingdom of God. In 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about the gifts that God gives us by the Spirit of God. He says each one is given the manifestation. That's a critical word, the manifestation of the Spirit. That means there's an action that takes place. There's something that's happening that people can experience. And it's for the common good. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? There's a move or a working of the Spirit of God in our lives that by the Spirit of God so that we can create an experience for people that represents the common good. Hallelujah. In other words, so that everyone would be able to have a positive experience and recognize and give glory and honor to God. And so, as we look at how this is broken down, he says in verse 8, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. Notice in each of these verses, Spirit is capitalized because it's the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of God who holds all the gifts. Hallelujah. I want you to understand that. The gift does not belong to you. It's on loan to you as the Spirit of God is working through you. And these gifts will operate in your life when you commune with God in the spirit. When your spirit being, your inner man, your spiritual self is being fed. When it's being poured into. When you are communing with God. When you're meditating on the word of God day and night. In other words, when you connect with the spiritual tools and the things that God has given us, they are designed to sensitize you to the realm of the Spirit of God. And so, if you're going to overcome in life, you must be able to tap into the realm of the Spirit of God. Once you are able to tap into the realm of the Spirit of God, the gifts of God will become available as the Spirit needs you to operate in them. And so when you walk in the Spirit, anything can happen. Hallelujah. Because God is going to bring things alive that will cause you to have an awareness and an understanding that is beyond your awareness and understanding. Hallelujah. And you will find yourself even saying things that you don't even understand what you're saying, but the other person is just being impacted by it. They're having an experience. They're having an encounter. And you're just speaking the word of life because it's for the common good. It's bringing about the goodness of God. God is wanting to mold and shape the people that we encounter in order to draw them into his presence so they too can know him and have a relationship with him. Verse 10 says, to another, the effecting of miracles, and to another, prophecy, to another, the distinguishing of spirits. Notice this distinguishing of spirits is a small s. Do you see that? That is because it's talking about spirits other than the Spirit of God. And it talks about other various kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. These are all the gifts of the Spirit, and we're all familiar with that, and we've done classes on these, and I'm sure we'll talk about this more in the future as well. But for today, I want to point out that we need to be able to operate in the Holy Spirit, and when you're operating in the Spirit of God, God gives you the wherewithal in order to be able to distinguish other spirits. Hallelujah. And that is probably the most important thing we need to understand, especially in today's day and age, because not every spirit is of God. And we know that the word of God tells us, right? Isn't that what the scripture says? Beloved, believe not every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether or not it is of God. And the only way to discern the spirit is by being in the Spirit of God yourself and being able to align the word of God to the situation so that you can tell whether something is of God or not. It's the word and the spirit coming together. And when the word and the spirit come together, that's when power is ignited. Hallelujah. And that's when the Spirit of God comes alive. And this is all part of our basic Christian training, right? That's Christianity. This is Christianity 101. Well, maybe we'll say it's 201, all right? One is knowing who you are in Christ and understanding the fundamentals of the gospel. So we'll say this is 201, understanding the dynamics and the principles of the power of the Spirit of God in your life. And you and I are called to not just walk around saying, praise the Lord, I'm blessed. But we're supposed to operate in the power of the Spirit of God, and other people will say, my Lord, you're blessed. And so there's a difference, because the immature person is talking about how they are blessed, but the mature person understands that the blessing is in God and that it is in the operation of the Spirit of God. So the glory goes to God, and it's the people who declare you're blessed. And that is why the word of God says, let another's lips praise you and not your own. Isn't that right? And so the idea is that you don't have to tell anybody anything. They will see the demonstration of the Spirit of God. And that's why Paul said, my preaching and my teaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the power of God, of the Spirit of God with power. Hallelujah. And so you and I are called to demonstrate. We're called to prove what the will of the Lord is. Isn't that what the scripture said? Paul says that over and over again. We're the proof. And when you are the proof, when you're operating in the dynamic of the Spirit of God, then other people see the kingdom of God being manifested in the midst of their lives. And it causes people to come to a point where they say, what must I do to have eternal life? What must I do to be? They'll want what you have. They'll say, how is it that you have such joy? How do you have such peace? How are you able to, with all the challenges and the difficulties going on in life, how are you able to just keep going? How are you able to deal with all of these things? Why? It's the Spirit of God at work. Yes. Hallelujah. It's the Spirit of God at work. And so he sums it up in verse 11. He says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as he wills. And who is he? The Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord, he spreads it out individually. As you need it, God says, I'm going to give it to you. And you never know what you're going to come out of you when you're walking in the Spirit of God. God is going to give you what to say. He's going to tell you what to do. There's just going to be a working of God. The Word of God says you'll be like the wind. Nobody will know where you're coming from or where you're going. Why? Because the Spirit of God is moving in the midst of your life. And all people will know is that the Spirit of the Lord was in this place. And that is something we carry with us everywhere we go. And so we are called of God to operate in the Spirit of God so that the gifts of the Spirit that he gives us as a resource can be effective in our lives. We have been resourced to win. God's goal is to enable us to bring forth the common good. We want to experience the goodness of God. That is what the Spirit of God is doing. In fact, in Ephesians 2:10, he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? Oh, don't you love this? Hallelujah. This goes all the way back to like Adam and Eve in the garden when the devil was thinking he was getting over. God says, man, I got a plan for all of this because I knew you were going to show up. I knew you were going to show up. And so God put a plan in place. And not only did he put a plan in place, he put people in place so that they could be a part of his plan for the common good. And so God has created us as a part of his workmanship. You are a divinely designed creative work of the Spirit of God. And so you are placed in 2022 in August, well, July till tomorrow, and you are here for such a time as this. You are strategically placed, and you, just like Queen Esther, are here for the sake of the kingdom of God. And God has called you. In the famous words of that woman of God, if you die, you die. Hallelujah. 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 God has called us for such a time as this. We have been created for these purposes. It's not by accident. Your life is not an accident. Your life is not just by chance. Stop thinking of yourself, oh, look. No, no. Rise up. God says, you might be a hammer today and a drill tomorrow, but I'm going to tell you, you're a tool in the hands of God. And when the Spirit of God wants to use you, when you're tapped in, if you're walking in the Spirit, you are ready for every good work. And the Word of God can manifest himself, and he will use you, and he will make you to be what you need to be. That's what God does. He molds. He's the potter. We are the clay. And so we are a part of this plan that was prepared beforehand. Do you see that? It's prepared beforehand. That means it's a design. God knew all of these things were going to happen. Everything that happens to us, God already knows. He's not surprised. He's not like, oh, I can't believe they did it. Oh, what did that Pastor Shelley do? Oh, my Lord, what did he say? Oh, I can't believe he said that. We got to change everything. Quick, everybody scramble. Get, move. No, that's not what happens. God says, yep, right on schedule. There you go. All right, here we go. Hallelujah. And God has already got things laid out. The plan is already there. So we don't have to worry. We don't have to fear. We don't have to have anxiety. He knows the trouble that you face. He knows the situation that you're in. And God has a plan for you. And you will overcome in the demonstration of the Spirit of God for the common good. Hallelujah. And God will cause you to walk in the ways of the Lord when you're operating in the Spirit of God. In Revelation 14:12, it says, here is the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. Let me see this one moment here. Look at this. Here is the perseverance. Perseverance always means that you're facing resistance. You're facing opposition. That's that. When that word shows up, that means when you face opposition, when challenges come, when difficulties come, because as a child of God, you are going against the flow of the world. The world is moving in a whole different direction, and we are operating in the Spirit of God. And we need to be able to go to and fro. And you and I move as the Spirit of God moves us. Ezekiel said, as the wheels move within the wheel. And he talked about the cherubim and the seraphim and how they moved with the wheels, the Spirit of God going as the Spirit of God would move. Everything would move with it. You and I have to be able to move. And sometimes we are going against, and there's opposition. And when the opposition shows up, we have to persevere. And we hold on. And he says, here is the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. That tells us that it's going to become difficult to hold on to the commandments of God, to be faithful to the commandments of God, to the Word of God. It's going to become more and more challenging in the world, in the society, in the community that we live. And to keep the commandments is going to be very difficult, especially when it comes to your faith in Jesus. Even your faith in Jesus will come under attack. And that is why you need to be tapped into the Spirit of God. Because otherwise, if your relationship with God is merely intellectual, you will find yourself depleted when someone comes with a better argument than you. You will find yourself in a situation where someone can out-debate you or has more information or resources to use against you that you can even come forth with in order to make sense about. And so you need to have a resource in the Spirit of God. And so the Spirit of God moves and enables us to hold on to our faith. And there's a stirring on the inside. And even in your mind, when you question, when you doubt, you say, oh, God, are you really there? Are you real? Or is this just something I'm believing? Because the world has a way of causing you to be spun because they create a spiritual dynamic that's like a negative vortex that pulls you down. So you become discouraged. So you begin to question your faith. So you begin to wonder, and you begin to start to become confused, and you're not quite sure, and then you're saying things but you're not quite confident in what you're saying. And that's the whirlwind, the vortex the enemy tries to create. But you got to learn how to hold on. You've got to persevere in God. That's why the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God, that I might not go against the Lord or stray or go the wrong way. And the word has to get from your head to your heart. And when the word of God gets into your heart, then it affects your feet, it affects your hands, it affects everything about your life. And you can stay focused. And even when you have the Spirit of God working in you, there is a contrary spirit. There's a spirit of the enemy that will rise up so that its spirit will go against your spirit. And your goal and my goal is to have more of the Spirit of God than the spirit of the enemy that can come against us. So that is where the warfare comes into play. And so we must wrestle with this challenge in life. This is what makes life challenging for the believer and why it's so important to stay tuned. That is why having carnal Christian friends is dangerous to your health. Carnal Christian friends are dangerous to your health. People who don't operate in the power and the presence of the Spirit of God, but have a mere intellectual faith whereby it kind of just runs somewhere in the background. But God says we have to have it in the forefront of our mind, that we're persevering in God and that we are always abiding in the work of the Lord, staying focused in God. In verse 13, it says, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit. So that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow with them. Hallelujah. Do you see that? Your deeds follow with you. That is why it's important to be about the Lord's work. That is why Jesus said, don't you know, I must. He said, I must be about my Father's business. And you and I, we must be about our Father's business. We must be focused. We must not allow the enemy to rob us. We must suit up and make sure we're appropriately dressed in the Spirit of God so that we can be effective at the work of the Lord, that we would be able to accomplish the will of God. And so we see the importance of having the Spirit of God operating in our lives. And as Ephesians talks about keeping the armor on and being effective in using the equipment we've received is a great challenge. And saints of God, it's one thing to say, I'm putting on the armor of God. It's a whole nother story to keep it on. It's a whole nother story to keep it on, because Satan can talk you out of your armor. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I've heard Christians growing up over the years saying, oh, don't let me have to put my Jesus down. Have you ever heard people say that? Oh, don't let me have to put my Jesus down. Those are people who are admitting they're taking their armor off, right? They're admitting that they're depleting themselves of all spiritual responsibility and resources, and they're going to deal with you in the flesh. Saints of God, those Christians get knocked out. They get knocked out. Remember that video last week? I should have played that again this week, right? A lot of Christians going through life like, oh, you know, like it's a joke, like it's a game. But I tell you, it's life and death. And you and I have to learn how to keep the armor on. Satan wants to get you to take your armor off. It's easy to say, oh, I'm putting on the armor of God in the morning. Praise the Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. Yeah, well, by the afternoon, you're coming back naked. Hallelujah. Because you got duped out of your armor. Satan robbed you of one piece by piece, and you coming home with nothing. And so God has given us the equipment, and it's a challenge to hold on to it. And we have to learn how to keep it. And so the armor of God is important. That's why in Ephesians 6:10 it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. You and I are called to be in the strength of God's might. In other words, God will hold you up. Hallelujah. We're strong enough to hold on to God. And God says, I'll hold you up. If you hold me, I'll hold you. And that's how we're able to stand. Hallelujah. So he says, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Hallelujah. This is why you and I need to learn how to be equipped in the Spirit of God. You need to be able to come and see what it means to walk in the fullness of the Spirit of God, armed according to the Word of God against the schemes. Notice the schemes of the devil, right? That, you know what a scheme is, right? That's a plan. Just like God has a plan, well, Satan has a plan. And you need to be able to stand. And so I want you to see what this armor looks like. When you're equipped in the armor of God. Come on out, brother. And as we apply the principles of God's word, we can be equipped in the armor of God. Hallelujah. 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 Now the armor of God, you can come over here by me. Hallelujah. You need to be well equipped. Hallelujah. This is the illustration that the Word of God gives us as he helps us to understand how to stand against the schemes of the devil. And the devil is a schemer. He knows how to get through to us. He knows how to discourage us, how to bring us to a place where he doesn't even have to fight. We just give up. We give up because he attacks us in all the ways that God has given us his armor to protect us. Verse 12 says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against powers and against world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. You see that? All these things are where? In the heavenly places. In other words, the warfare is in the spirit realm. And that is why you have to be attuned in the Spirit of God so that you can draw from the resources, because that was where the battle really is. And so we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. There's these schemes of the enemy that are designed to cause us to give up. And we find ourselves in a place of weakness. Verse 13 says, take up the full armor of God. You see, this is a picture of what he's describing. And our centurion here is looking rather intentional. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so it says, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything to stand, stand firm. Now, this passage here, when it talks about having done everything to stand, the armor itself is designed to hold you in place. In fact, one of the things the armor does is add weight to the soldier. And in Roman days, you had to be a minimum of 6 feet tall in order to qualify as a centurion. If you were shorter than 6 feet, you were disqualified. And so the armor was designed to add weight and bulk to the centurion so that he could not be moved. So that no matter what comes against him, he can stand. Hallelujah. And so he says, having done everything to stand, the armor holds you up. The armor enables you to stand more shod into the ground, more rooted into the ground. And so he goes on in verse 14, and he says, in verse 14, it says, stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, the belt of truth, or having the loins girded with truth, I think I have one here. This is the belt. This is what is girded up. This is what goes along here underneath. And this is pretty heavy. I want you to feel this. Who wants to hold it? Yes. That's got some weight to it. How about one of you? Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Hallelujah. Anybody else want to feel it? Well, you could. Sure. Here you go. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yes. So you can't be a weakling wearing this. And this is just the belt. This belt feels like it would pull your pants down. That's why they wore the kilt. I feel like I don't have anything coming together here. But this is designed to hold everything up. With this on, everything attaches to this belt. And so, you and I must learn how to have the belt of truth. The truth represents the Word of God. The Word of God is truth. It is the truth that is the spirit of all that God does. He is righteous and he is true. And that is at the center of everything. It holds everything up. All of these things, the breastplate attaches to it, and even all of the various pieces, they're all connected to that one piece, and it holds together, and everything connects as one. This is a pretty intricate piece to put on and to wear, and everything is heavy. Isn't it heavy, brother? Hallelujah. I was going to have him do laps, but I didn't want him to fall over because then he may not be able to get back up. Hallelujah. And so the breastplate of righteousness. This is the breastplate of righteousness. And so it represents the righteousness of God, doing things the right way, according to the plan of God. There's a way that seems right to a man, the scripture says, but in the end, it is the way of destruction. But God has his way. And so we have to learn the ways of God. We know the ways of the world. We've been trained in it. We've been indoctrinated in school. We've been indoctrinated in colleges. We've been indoctrinated through TV shows and programs and movies. And there's a full-on an indoctrinational program that operates in the world today in every country. And certainly, you and I need to have our minds renewed by the Spirit of God. Verse 15 says, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, as you can see, these sandals that he wears, they are special sandals. Can you hold those feet up? Can you see under there? You see that? All right. All right, there you go. Can you see the bottom? They have studs in the bottom. Those are not for running track, but they are so that when they were marching and they were doing battle, they would have a grip in the ground so they would not move. Their feet would not slide. And these were specially made for the centurion. And they were designed to enable them to stand in battle because they were not designed to retreat. If you notice, if you turn around, this breastplate comes all the way around to the back. But that's all he's got. Look, you see his neck? Yeah, that could be dangerous. So you don't want to turn your back on your enemy. You want to face the enemy. And so when you have confidence in God, he gives us the ability to face the enemy because our feet are established with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In other words, you're a peacekeeper. You are here to bring the peace of God. You're representing the establishing of a divine kingdom, the kingdom of God. And he says, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, the shield of faith. You need the shield of faith. The shield of faith is designed so that it can cover you. And when you are covered by the shield, you can see, I can stay low. It covers my whole body. And the shield is designed so that anything coming at you, it will be stopped. It will be quenched. And this is what the Word of God does in us. When we're operating in the Word of God by the Spirit of God, our faith in God increases so that no matter what happens, it may hit you, but it's hitting you in your shield of faith. You feel it. You feel the thump of it. Hallelujah. But you don't feel the kill of it. It's not going to kill you. It's not going to take it away. You're going to just hear. You're going to hear the. Right? You're going to hear the boom, 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 boom. But I'm still here. Hallelujah. Why? Because the shield of faith protects you. It covers us. And that is what God is calling us to learn, how to increase our faith, how to make our shield big enough to cover us. And that happens as we recognize the things of God working in our life, as we see God doing what God does, and we understand the gospel. We understand the truth of God. When we apply these principles in our life, we're able to stand. He says, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation. Now, this is a nice piece, isn't it? The helmet of salvation. Notice that the helmet has covered on both sides. This is steel. Look at that. Hallelujah. You came and smack his face. He won't even feel it. I won't demonstrate it. But this helmet protects the head so that if the sword were to hit him in the head, he would just have a headache, I'm pretty sure. But he would still be alive. And the helmet protects you because that is the most important place. That is the place you want to kill the enemy. If you can get his head, then you can, nothing else matters. And that's why Satan tries to get in people's heads. He will get in your head. He will mess with your mind. He will get you to believe things that are not true. The lies of the enemy. In fact, the Word of God says he is a liar. He is the father of lies. And the truth is not in him. In fact, it says he is not even capable of telling the truth. That's what the scripture says. Satan is not even capable of telling the truth. And so it's important for us to have our helmet of salvation on so that we can understand that we are not going to listen to the lies of the enemy. And we're not going to be deceived by the scheme, because the scheme always is rooted in lies. And then he says the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And the sword, take out that sword. Watch your hand, don't cut yourself. The sword of the Spirit. Hallelujah. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God, the Word of God is quick and powerful. Isn't that what the Word of God says? It can separate the soul from the spirit like marrow from the bones. Hallelujah. And so the Word of God is powerful and it is capable. This sword is a heavy sword. May I? Thank you, sir. No, I'm kidding. It's not that heavy. But it is heavy. You want to feel it? Oh, yes. All right. How about you? Go ahead. You can feel it. You want to feel it? No? Okay. He wants to try it. Go ahead. Yeah. All right. Go ahead, Trish. Yes. Heavy. Not something you play with. Not something that can be easily wielded. You know, we see these movies and everybody's like, ha, ha, ha. You know, this requires training. You need to be trained to wield this because it is a heavy piece. Thank you, sir. And so you and I have these tools that God is giving us to protect us. But the purpose of this, and Pastor Raphael dealt with this a couple of weeks ago, and is defensive, so that we would be able to stand. The centurion's job is to hold his position. And even as he moves forward, he holds his position. And we are to move forward in our walk with God. We are to move forward in our persevering in the ways of God. And as we win souls or represent the kingdom of God, you and I are called to be able to hold our position, to move forward and then hold, because the enemy is going to come against you. And he is going to try to get in your head. And he's going to try to get you to believe things that are not true. He's going to try to get you to forget what it is that God has said. That's why you don't hide it in your head, you hide it in your heart. Because once it's in your heart, you're protected by the breastplate of righteousness. And you're able to keep your head focused, your mind clear. And so you're not having to think about things because it's in you. It's a part of you. It's just who you are. It's just how you were raised up in the Lord. And so God has established you so that you can stand against the strategies of the enemy. And that is done with all prayer and petition. We're praying at all times. Do you see that? Why? Because prayer is critical to succeeding in the Christian life. That's why Satan discourages us from praying. He makes us too busy. He causes us to forget. And when prayer becomes a part of who you are, you can't forget. You can't be distracted. Why? Because it's not in your mind, it's in your heart. And prayer is something that's just going to come out of you. It's going to be a part of your way of life, of your walk, of your everyday routine. It's just like everything else that we do. We're on automatic pilot. You will walk in the truths of God, in the righteousness of God. And as you pray consistently, you'll be able to persevere. And you'll be able to make petition for all the saints. In other words, you won't forget people who are in need of prayer covering. Prayer is where the Spirit of God moves in the midst of the lives of the people. Prayer affects you first and then the others that you're interceding. Because prayer brings you into communion with God, into unity with God, so that you can then experience the power of God. And so Proverbs 10:2 says, ill-gotten gains do not profit, but righteousness delivers from death. And that is why we have to be suited up with the armor of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. Hallelujah. And so you and I are called of God. We are called to walk in the strength of God, in the wisdom of God, in the power of God, so that we can demonstrate all of the resources of God that are available to us as the Spirit makes them available. And God enables us to navigate through the challenges and the difficulties of life. And so, as a result, keeping our armor on is a challenge. It is not only heavy, it is cumbersome. Could you imagine having to wear that in the Middle East, in Europe, in the hot sun, in the deserts, all the different places, the regions? That thing is hot. That armor, that metal plating in the sun being directly, man, that is, you probably cook eggs on that thing. Hallelujah. At least they would have breakfast everywhere they went. So it's not easy to keep your armor on. And that's why Satan tries to get in your head to get you to take the armor off. And so when we think about the armor of God, when we think about all of these things that God is providing for us, that we would be able to make sure that we have our helmet of salvation on so that we don't allow the enemy to get in our head. God has given us divine appointments as we go through life. There are going to be difficult times, challenges, and hardships that we are going to have to face. There's no way to get around them. We have to be able to stand. We have to be able to hold on to the principles of God's word, to the truth of God's word, so that we can be effective at representing the kingdom of God. And this is what you and I are called to do. This is who we are in Christ, so that we would be able to make sure that we are having a divine experience. That is why in 1 John 3:2 he says, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be, But we know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is. Oh, saints of God, you and I, we're going to be made with the righteousness of Christ. We're going to have the fullness of all of the resources of God and of heaven operating in our life. And you and I will be able to overcome. And that is why Romans 11:29 says, the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. They're without repentance. They can never be withdrawn because God has not only called us, but he has equipped us. He has given us the tools and the resources that we need so that we can be effective at representing the kingdom of God, the hand of God, and the move of God. I pray that you are praying with all prayer and petition, praying at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, that you would be on the alert with all perseverance and petition of the saints. So no matter what your occupation would be, if you're a businessman, or if you are a nurse, or you are someone who is operating in a particular field or area of specialty that you've been trained and equipped for, that you would always have your armor on, that you will always have the word of God so that you will be armed, not just the word of God in your head, but in your heart, that you would be able to stand, therefore, having done all to stand. God has called us to be suited up. You may not be able to wear a suit of armor, but I tell you, you have it on under all that you are. It's in your heart. It's within you. It's inside of you. And as you go according to the Spirit. You go according to the Word of God, according to the ways of God and the power of God. I pray that you understand the dynamics of being suited up. That you understand that life is filled with a series of challenges and difficulties, and there is a dress code required in order to be established in them all. And so keep your armor on, saints of God. Don't allow the enemy to cause you to take it off. Don't allow him to get into your head to enable you to put your sword down or put your shield down or to lose heart or to give up. But you hold on to the truth of God, to the word of God, so that the wisdom and the power of God can be manifested in your life. In Jesus' name, amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you.
What he says I am.
God, I pray that you know who you are today, and I pray that you have your armor fully on, and that you will be able to stand, and don't let the enemy lose you from your armor, separate you from your armor, but allow the armor of God to remain on. No matter what outfit you're suited for, no matter what it is that you're called to do or who you're called to be, make sure your armor is under your uniform. Under your suit. Be suited in the Spirit of God, in the armor of God, so that the wisdom and the power of God and all the resources of heaven can flow into you as the Spirit needs. He has equipped you. He has empowered you. He has strengthened you so that you can be prepared for such a day as this. And you are designed for this work and for this purpose, that you will represent the kingdom of God. So keep your armor on and allow the Spirit of God to enable you to be suited for all occasions. The anointed and the appointed of God for the sake of the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Lord, we thank you for your word today. And we ask, oh God, that you would manifest yourself again and again and again. be glorified in the midst of us, and allow your will to be accomplished, that we would be your witnesses. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Your show is excellent.